Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're in a corner, causing a commotion. Driving me away, driving me backwards. Baby's getting uptight. Listen to a holler.
You know the Feelies? One of the many acts to grace the stage at Maxwell's over the past 35 years. And when the news broke earlier this week that the beloved Hoboken venue will be closing at the end of July, there was a massive outcry from music fans on both sides of the Hudson. So I'm joined now by Todd Abramson, one of Maxwell's co-owners, who is also the venue's booker. Hey, Todd, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks a lot.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Let's try to compile the, say, five most memorable nights at Maxwell's. Maybe it was a sublime performance. Maybe it was something that you were involved with that was not necessarily on the stage. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So you and the other owners choosing to close down Maxwell's, I gather you're not doing it out of necessity?
Well, it would depend on your definition of necessity. I mean, it's not – could the business continue to operate in the near future? Yes. But, in business, you have to take the long-term view. And I think
because I read that you're still selling out shows.
Yes. Obviously, not every night. And they're probably – this year there have been less shows than 2012.
Are you on some level a victim of Sandy?
No, only in the sense that there hasn't been as much business in Hoboken overall since that, but I don't think we were affected in particular. And thankfully, outside of just being closed for a week, we did not sustain any damage from the storm.
So no Kickstarter campaign or something like that to save Maxwell's. Remember the Bottom Line closed in the Village and people are getting all upset and say, don't do this. And there was a whole Save the Bottom Line campaign. You don't want anything like that.
No. If people want to do that, I can find other places for them to put their money.
Jonathan and Nyack, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You used to go to Maxwell's?
Yeah, a lot. And I saw the Feelies there many, many times. I'm devastated by the closing of that club. Of course, so many wonderful things closed, but this is that's where the Feelies called home. And yeah, I wasn't going to call, but then you played a clip from Away, and I directed the video that we shot at Maxwell's. And a memorable moment for me was we discovered while we were trying to find camera angles that there's a strange little window just there on stage left, which if you open this kind of little door window, you can see all these plants and weeds out there. And that was pretty exciting.
All right. You didn't shoot the Glory Days video that they made at Maxwell's, too, did you?
No. Wish I had, but I didn't.
That was Jonathan Sales. This is Jonathan Demme.
Yeah, and anybody who ever saw the Feelies at Maxwell's knows that there's never been any greater American band than the Feelies. Everybody knows that if they've experienced them firsthand, especially in Maxwell.
Are you going to be around in early July, Jonathan? Are you going to be able to make it to any of those last shows?
Yeah, now I realize I have to be, yes.
Great.
Jonathan, you made that intimate Neil Young movie last year, didn't you?
Yes.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
And thanks for calling in. I really appreciate you.
Okay, pleasure.
Your voice and your vision. Jordana in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. My story is I went to see Beck at Maxwell's. It was maybe 2004. He had a Sea Change album, and he was on Saturday Night Live, and he did a secret show at Maxwell's. And my future husband and I, it was one of our first dates, and it was on Valentine's Day, and it was actually my birthday. And Beck sang a special song to all the Valentines out in the audience. And he actually took pictures of the audience, and he put them on his website, and where you can see pictures of us. So I don't know if they're
isn't that cool? The artist taking pictures of the audience rather than the audience taking pictures of the artist. A secret show, unannounced show?
Unannounced. to accept. I think it was announced on just his fan page the day before.
Wow. Jordana, thank you. And I guess you must have done this sometimes at Maxwell's, because Miller and Brielle is calling in with another unannounced show memory. Miller?
Yeah. Hey, Todd. Miller Smith here. I used to live with my wife, Chrissy, up in apartment 3N.
Oh, hey,
upstairs.
Miller.
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
You don't have to call the radio. You could just go knock on his door. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Oh, it was the best place to be. My son was born there, so.
Ha. At Maxwell's?
Anyway, NYU, but we were living in Maxwell's. It was his first home.
Okay.
So
the show that you're remembering is?
David Byrne. It was, again, a secret show. You had to know to go down to, I forget if it was Pier Platters.
It was Pier Platters.
Yep, you had to know to go to Pier Platters to buy tickets. And we had an amazing dinner party upstairs, and then everybody just traipsed downstairs into the club and saw the show, which was so incredible.
If you had eaten downstairs in our restaurant that night, maybe we'd still be open.
Ooh.
Just kidding.
Miller, thanks for your call. Of course, ties back to Jonathan Demme, too, who made Stop Making Sense. So was that a thing at Maxwell's through the year, secret shows?
Well, you know what's funny about that is that there were a fair amount. There were enough secret shows so that whenever REM would come to town, or when Pavement reformed and did those shows in Central Park, people would call up and assume that they might be doing a show at Maxwell's and wouldn't necessarily believe us when we said no. So it was kind of interesting.
How many seats at Maxwell's?
No real seats. 200 tickets was considered a sold-out
right.
show.
So obviously, what a treat in a small space like that.
Correct.
When there's David Byrne, there's Beck.
Right.
Eric and Metuchen, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Favorite moment at Maxwell's was the final show for a Jersey band called the Gefkins. And a college band, a friend of mine from college, their band Hum Daisy was the opener, and it was great because it was their final show. It was all college friends and family there that got together. We filled the place up, and it was a great time from what I can remember.
Eric, thanks a lot, and we're going to go right to Kenny in Brooklyn in Park Slope. Hi, Kenny.
Yeah, the best thing about Maxwell's for me was I got to meet, since it's such an intimate space, some of my rock and roll heroes. Ian McLaughlin, formerly of Small Faces and Faces, whose keyboard playing influenced my keyboard playing. His bass player at the time was Mark Andes from Spirit and Jojo Gunn. Actually, I had met him years ago when he was in Jojo Gunn. But most of all, Arthur Lee of Love. He was playing at Maxwell's and also in the city 2 days back-to-back, and I actually had a chance to sit down, talk with him, hang out with him. It was wonderful. So it was nice. It was a small, intimate venue.
The late Arthur Lee. Yeah. Kenny, thank you.
Do we have a moment for a quick Arthur Lee story?
Yeah.
For Maxwell? Okay, I've told this a bunch of friends, but so I think he played there twice. I can't remember if this was the first or second time, and I was a big fan. And the Maxwell's basement is very much a labyrinth, and the office is tucked away in a small corner. And I was talking to Arthur there, and we finished our conversation, and he left to go back upstairs. And I was thinking, God bless him, he probably doesn't have the sharpest mind at this point of everyone around. I should probably go and help him get up, point him in the right direction. I think, you know, he can do it. It's still a small room. 5-10 minutes go by. At this point, great, you know, I don't have to worry. He comes back to the office and just goes to me, now that I've been to China, how do I get upstairs? But, you know, God rest his soul. What a great talent.
Todd Abramson, co-owner of Maxwell's, with us, remembering some of the memorable moments as the club is going to close in July. Is it fair to say that Hoboken began losing its reputation as a so-called bohemian haven maybe decades ago, and that it was a gradual dissipation of that public that maybe led to, you know, your eventual decision to close Maxwell's now?
Yeah, I think it's kind of been accelerated in the last few years. It's picked up speed a little, but yes, that would definitely be accurate.
More of the bros who work on Wall Street now over there?
It's just kind of a strange mix. But yeah, I would say that's somewhat accurate.
Another memory from Drew in Ringwood. Hi, Drew. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Most memorable was probably what some people might think was the hottest night on earth when Marat played there one night. And Dave Malenko, the lead singer, was trying to say, you know, he said that he couldn't understand why people stayed through the heat, and he tried to figure out how he would stay if he was at the show. And he said that if it was Johnny Cash fronting the Ramones, that he'd be out after two songs, and that would be the end of it. It was too, that hot there. And it's funny because, actually, they played at, Marat played at my house the next night, and people talking about the Feelies and Ian McLagan. Ian McLagan is playing at my house next Saturday, next Sunday, rather, and the Feelies will be there in October. So.
There you go. Drew, thank you very much.
That would not be the hottest show on record at Maxwell's. Before we had the fine air conditioning system we have now, the Replacements played a show that they just booked that afternoon, and the clicker broke on the door. We later found out when we were counting the money, we let almost 400 people in. It was during the summer, and a metal chair actually melted somehow back there.
When he said he was going to talk about the hottest show at Maxwell's, I thought it was going to be the hottest band.
Yeah.
But he meant the weather. And back to the gentrification thing. You've spoken about rock clubs in areas like the East Village essentially forcing themselves to close by making an area cool, driving up costs in that area, and then pricing themselves out. Do you think something like that happened to you?
Not exactly. Not strictly in the sense of pricing ourselves out. And like you say, it took place over a long amount of time. But what I think happened more specifically is just due to that, the vibe and the nature of the city changed along with some, external things. You know, we probably don't need to talk about the parking again, but, you know, that's always been a problem in that town. And once again, that's just gotten worse. But I think, there's not as much many artistic types in the city, if you will, and that's been a part of it.
We're going to run out of time in a minute. I want to mention that Irene Trudell, one of our great broadcast engineers who works on our music talk show Soundcheck, wrote a blog post called Maxwell's Moments. We're adding a link to her piece on our page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Do you have a favorite night?
I often reference at least one of my favorites being when the Cow Sills made their only appearance, because it was a night where I was not necessarily a huge fan of the band at that time, and I was blown away by the show, and also beforehand upstairs in what passed for a dressing room then, Susan Cowsill did two quick radio phoners, one with Chris T of WFMU, one with Cousin Brucey on WCBS, and just watching her personality change for each interview was just show business in its purest form.
And probably the only time anybody ever told the story about the Cowsills over Yola Tango Music. Todd Abrams, thanks a lot for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Maxwell's to close in July.